for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, March the 20th, 1992. Spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon. This is one of toots of the afternoon service.
Dr. Bill Null is from Salina, Kansas, and he arranges his schedule so he can slip away and leave the hospital for a day or two or a week. And it's a miracle that he can do that, but we appreciate the miracle the Lord does. And we appreciate the ministry that the Lord has given Dr. Noel, a ministry of deliverance. He delivers babies and he delivers adults. In Jesus' name.
Actually, I'm a pediatrician. I take care of babies when they get here. Oh, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, bless this word this day, Lord, as it goes forth. Anoint it, Lord God, that it might break and rock the yoke, Lord God. So today I'm going to talk about familiar spirits. Last camp meeting I talked about the unseen enemy. And if you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians 6:12, we see Paul says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And this is a verse that we took to structure, to show you the structure of Satan's kingdom. And Satan's kingdom is set up with principalities, which are evil angels, powerful princes, with an area of responsibility, an area of authority. That is an old English word, and it's the only principality left today is the principality of Monaco. It is an area that is ruled by a prince. But in the spiritual realm, there are many principalities. The enemy has divided up the world into principalities and has assigned evil angels over these. And the word that is arcane, which is in the Greek, which signifies a structure, like unto an army, generals, colonels, majors, lieutenants, captains, sergeants, and so forth. And that is the structure of the enemy. That is the way he has structured his kingdom. Because Satan is we talked about Satan being a created being. He can only be at one place at one time. He is not everywhere at once, as is the Holy Spirit. So he is dependent upon this highly structured kingdom to bring him reports as to what's happening in his kingdom on this earth. And we are caught in a conflict of kingdoms between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy. And Paul makes that very plain, that we're wrestling against him. And today we're going to talk about a particular type of spirit. Last time, I can't give you the whole teaching on the unseen enemy. If you haven't heard it, you probably ought to listen to it, because it ties in directly with familiar spirits. But today we're going to talk about familiar spirits. Now, Satan has assigned to your family a certain line of spirits that stays with your family generation after generation after generation. And these are assigned to harass you, to keep you in bondage, and to report on you. And you have spirits that are familiar with you. And in that context, a familiar spirit is one that is familiar with you. He's watched you from the day that you were born. He knows all of your habits. He knows all of your likes and your dislikes. And he can guess how you're going to react. Now, he cannot read your mind. The devil cannot read your mind. He can listen to you, and he can hear you, but he cannot read your mind. This was shown very clearly in Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he called all the the astrologers and soothsayers together. And he said, I had a dream. I want you to tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation. And since he told no one the dream, here were the men who were most skilled in witchcraft and sorcery. Witchcraft and sorcery reached its zenith under the Babylonian Empire. The archaeologists today are absolutely amazed at some of the things that they were able to do. They were able to take the head off and bore holes in the head and all sorts of things. And they did this by witchcraft. It's still done today in the Philippines. It's still done in Mexico. But they could not tell the king what his dream was because they could not read his mind. Daniel, when he said he was going to put them all to death, including Daniel, Daniel asked him to wait. He said, there's a God in heaven who can read your mind. And so he went to, so God gave him the vision, and he went to the king, and he told him the vision, the interpretation. He said, it's not that I am so wise, but there's a God in heaven who has revealed this to me. So the devil can't read your mind. But he has these spirits that are familiar with you, that stay with you. They listen to every word you say. They know your personality. They know how you will probably react. And they can predict how you will react in the future. Today we're going to talk about another type of familiar spirit. It is a spirit which a person is familiar with and has a relationship so that supernatural power can be manifested through him. It is a spirit in which a human being has a relationship with. And therefore they can use this spirit to manifest supernatural power. And with this, I'm going to read you the scriptures, some scriptures from the Old Testament in the Bible, if I can find what I did with them. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after them, after the wizards, to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 26. The soul that turneth after such that have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go a whoring after them, I will set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Leviticus 20:27. A man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. Deuteronomy 18:11, and this is a part of a long verse that runs about 10 or 12 verses, and it's a condemnation of the occult, and it just says a charmer or a consulter. They consulted with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, shall be cut off. 1 Samuel 28:3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Now wizard is defined in the concordance as one with a familiar spirit. 1 Samuel 28:7. Then Saul said unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and went with two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up to him whom I will name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that Saul hath done, he has cut off all those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore thou layest thou a snare for my life and causest me to die. The woman knew that it was against the law of God to traffic with familiar spirits. Saul knew it too. But why was he going to a familiar spirit? Because God would not answer him. 2 Kings And he made his son, 2 Kings 21:6. And he made his sons pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards and wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. There he's talking about Massa. In 23:24, 2 Kings, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Joash put away, that he might perform the words of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had found in the house of the Lord. Now, going back in time a little bit to Chronicles 10:13, so Saul died for his transgressions which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one who had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. And so you see, Saul lost his life for going to the witch. 2 Chronicles 33:6, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used wizards, and he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And there we're talking about the wicked king Massa again. Now in Isaiah says in 8:19, and when they shall say unto you, seek out them which have familiar spirits and wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Isaiah 19:3, the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and wizards. Their God was speaking of his wrath. In Isaiah 29:9, it says, and thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low, and out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as the one who hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. And so familiar spirits whisper, very quiet.
Dr. Ross, when I don't think it's 29:9, do you have a
29:4. Praise God. Now you see, what we're talking about for unsaved people and for saved people, as far as that goes, we're talking about witch doctors, sorcerers, diviners, enchanters, palm readers, card layers, astrologers, war charmers, water witches. Well, any type of supernatural act that's not of God. Now, the amount of your supernatural ability depends upon the power of the Spirit and your relationship with it. These spirits really hate you. They really do. They hate the people because they come from the kingdom of darkness. And Satan comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. It's his only purpose. You know, Satan hates you so bad. He really hates God. But he can't touch God. He rebelled against God. He can't touch God. But he can touch God's image. That's you. You are God made in God's image. And he can touch you. And therefore, he hates you so bad. That what he wants to do to you is he wants to kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible. And he wants to drag you through degradation, bondage, and degradation, utterly to destroy you. That's his aim. And if he can get you hooked into the supernatural from one of his spirits, then he can make you his slave. For the Word of God says, well, let's praise you, Lord God. Let's look at Romans 7. Let's look at Romans 6, I'm sorry. Romans 6:13. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? You present yourself. Let's look at John 8:34. Jesus answered him, Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. I mean, when you submit yourself to this familiar spirit and allow it to manifest through you, then you become its slave. You've not only cursed yourself and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, but you may put yourself in a place of bondage to that spirit so that it can bring in other spirits more powerful than itself and drag you further down, give you all sorts of nice things, like cancer, all sorts of very nice things, headaches, migraine headaches, stomach ulcers, just things that you don't want. It comes because you have a relationship. You've opened yourself to that spirit. Now, there are two sources of supernatural power. One is the power of Satan, and the other is the power of God. Let's look at Acts 26, verse 18. Here, Paul, in his testimony before Agrippa, he says in Acts 18, he says, to open their eyes. And here, this is God, this was God's commission to him, is to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance from souls who are sanctified in me. But you see, there are two kingdoms there, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Let's look at Joshua 24. Joshua is tall, he's old, he's dying. All the elders who've been with him are dead. All the men who came across the Jordan. And he's talking to the young people. And he says in verse 13, I've given you a land, speaking of the Lord, I've given you a land which you did not labor, cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And then he says, but if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. For the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the river, are the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But for me, as for me and for my house, I will serve the Lord. You have to choose who you're going to serve. Mary chose, and she said, be it unto me according to your word. I say to you that you have to commit yourself to God and choose to serve him. Now, you're going to serve somebody in this life. God says you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve a spiritual power. You can choose to serve Almighty God, who loves you and died for you and has prepared a place for you. Or you can choose to serve the enemy who hates you and whose total desire is to torture you, torment you, and kill you and take you to the lake of fire. You know, that is such an obvious choice, I can't imagine anyone. But there are people who think they can sit with both feet in both camps and do their own thing. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say to you, the things which a Gentile sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. The word Gentile there should be say, but the things which the heathen sacrifice, that word actually means heathen, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. If you sacrifice to idols, and dealing with a familiar spirit is spiritual whoredom, according to God, you're sacrificing to a demon. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question now. I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. How many of you have a familiar spirit? How many of you have a spirit through which supernatural power is manifested? I hope you all have the Holy Spirit. I hope you're all familiar with the Holy Spirit, because through the Holy Spirit, supernatural power should be manifested in your life. You notice all the scriptures came before the Holy Spirit was poured out. At that, In the time the Old Testament was written, the Holy Spirit was poured out on a few prophets. But praise God, Jesus said he will send Paraclete, our comforter, who is a familiar spirit, I hope, to all of you. And so you won't find the term familiar spirit used in the New Testament, because all of you have a familiar spirit. It is a familiar, it is the Holy Spirit. I hope it's the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord God. It is possible for a reborn Christian to be deceived and to move by a familiar spirit. I know people who are deceived and moved by a familiar spirit. They think it's God. And it is very, very hard to minister to these people. I mean, it is extremely difficult. And I want to talk to you today about the familiar spirit that parades as the Holy Spirit. If you talk to someone, a spiritualist in the spiritualist church, and he will tell you that this is a gift of God. Oh, I could never. You asked a person who has a spirit of divination, and you asked him what the score is going to be on the football game next week. And he said, oh, I could never use the gift of God to make money. Now, he's deceived. He thinks that spirit is from Almighty God. It is not. You take the Christian Scientist. Some of the nicest people I know are Christian Scientists. A Christian Science practitioner is a witch. She moves, or he moves, by a familiar spirit. They do not believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Mary Baker Eddy's book says the ridiculous blood of Jesus Christ is what she says. Oh, God. God help us. But they will manifest supernatural. Now, when you go to the devil's counter to deal, you don't deal down, you deal up. Now, my witchcraft forebearers used to do exorcisms. And when they talked to the demon, they would call him little brother. Please. And they swapped spirits. A spiritualist exorcist takes the spirit into himself. If you've got a bad spirit that's causing you headaches, that man will take that spirit and bite that spirit into himself. Now, that's dedication for you. But if you've got a problem over here, you know, and you need some help, it's a bad spirit for you, might be, I've got just what you need, and he'll give it to you. Or if you go into a spiritualist church, and that exorcist will start at the back of the church and run forward and throw himself on there and trying to throw the spirit out of his body. And he will do this till he's utterly exhausted. But they are, and all they want to do is help people. They'll help you. They'll give you something. You be careful who you let lay hands on you. Paul says, don't hastily lay hands on any man. And by conversely, I say, be careful who you let lay hands on you. Praise the Lord God. It is possible for a Christian to take another spirit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, it may well put up with it. Now, another interpretation of that is, if you receive a spirit different from the one that you received to start with. Now, what Paul is saying in here, they've had some people come in and start ministering a different spirit. And the spirit, of course, was legalism. They had people coming in to the Corinthian church, and they were ministering legalism to them. Spirit of iron legalism. Paul says, if you're accepting a spirit different from the one that you received, you're in trouble. Now, you can accept a spirit different. You know, you be careful in your churches who you let minister the baptism in the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I've always noticed about people with Jezebel spirits, when some they'll prey on the weak Christian, the new Christian, and the hurting Christian. But boy, when they get somebody saved, they are right there, Johnny, on the spot to pray for them to get the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Acts 3:6, Peter said to the man at the beautiful gate, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he gave the man Jesus. But these people, what do they have to give out? They got a spirit of witchcraft and Jezebel and deception to give out. And they can, those people can get filled with false tongues. The Buddhists pray in false tongues. You ever heard demonic tongues? Satan is praying tongues. And people say, I know it's God because it was in tongues. I said, yeah, you don't know whose tongue, though. Praise you, Lord. So, now that I've done all of this, say, how can you tell? How do you decide what is the Holy Spirit and what is a familiar spirit? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, test everything. 1 John 1:4-1 says, try the spirits, beloved. Let's look at 1 John 4:1. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. It is a spirit of Antichrist. And the word Antichrist means instead of Christ. Which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Well, I never did have any spirits talk to me with an audible voice, so I had a real hard time saying, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God has come in the flesh. But they talked to me. Except in my mind. I heard voices in my mind. And so those I tested with this. And if you have one that speaks to you, I take that back. I saw a vision once. I had been studying a long time, and I was teaching on angels. And I had been studying for 3 or 4 hours, and I had been writing, and I was very tired. And I sat back, and this beautiful white creature appeared in my living room. It was just absolutely magnificent. I just looked at it, and I said, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God come in the flesh. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Beautiful. And I did not get to see the face. All I saw was the white raiment was so shining, it was so dazzling. That's all I could see. But I thought I did. That came out without me thinking about it. It came out of my mouth. Now, Derek Prince and Kenneth Hagin have written extensively on this subject, and I'm afraid that I have to acknowledge that I have borrowed from them, that this is not original with me. Both of them extensively for years, and so I must give them credit. Number one, the Holy Spirit always agrees with the letter and the spirit of Scripture. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. If you have a revelation that you feel is from the Holy Spirit, it will always agree with Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Actually, the Greek says it's God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. All Scripture is written by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not contradict Himself. Now, you must realize that the devil can quote Scripture. He quoted it to Jesus in the temptations. He quoted the Psalms to Jesus when he told him to jump off the temple. He said, jump off the temple because the angels are going to pick you up and let you float down. But read Scripture in context. Read 3 verses above and 3 verses below so you can get the context in which the Scripture is given. Now, if you will let me quote Scripture out of context, I can tell you that you ought to commit suicide. And that you ought to do it today. No. Scripture says Judas went out and hung himself. Jesus said, you go and do likewise. And he said, whatever you do, go do it right now. Now, those are 3 scriptures. They're all out of context, so. And the devil will quote you scriptures out of context. So you read. Be a student of the Bible. Study your Bible. know your scripture, and he will hit you when you don't have the book at hand. Or the concordance to go look it up. So put the Word of God in your heart. Read through the Bible every year. You only got to read 3.5 chapters a day. You do that, you'll read it every year. It should be your goal to read the Bible at least once a year, as a minimum. Praise you, Lord. Number one, we'll always agree with the letter and the spirit of the Scripture. Number two, the end purpose of any prophecy is exhortation, edification, and comfort. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of prophecy. And when he prophesies, when he speaks to you, the end result should be edification, exhortation, and comfort. It also says that the Holy Spirit comes to convict men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will convict you of your sin. He will convict you. He will not condemn you. If you get into a place where you feel condemned in which there is no hope, that is not God. God will never condemn you. He will convict you, but he will show you the way out. For he says in Scripture that if we confess our sins, Jesus Christ is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Praise you, Lord. Number three, let's look at John 16:13-14. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will speak of his own, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. It always, the end purpose is always to glorify Jesus Christ. If the end purpose is to glorify a denomination, if it is to glorify any person other than Jesus Christ, an institution, you're probably dealing with a religious spirit. How many of us have religious spirits? I belong to a church in which, after I was saved, I taught Sunday school for a number of years. I went in and talked to this priest and asked him what had happened to me, and he told me that I had been reborn. That's what he said. You have had a reborn experience, Bill. It is genuine, and I want you to teach Sunday school. And he put me to work. And when he retired, they put me to work teaching confirmation. And I taught the doctrine that the wine changed into the actual blood and body of Jesus Christ. I taught that to the children. And God removed me from that church. But I felt that I had to always go back. They had an 8 o'clock communion service, and I always went to the 8 o'clock communion service on Sunday. I had to go to witness to these people, is what I said. But I never witnessed to anybody. I went and took communion and left, like a good, obedient person. You know, we all go in and they go up and they give you the wafer and a drink out of the jug, and then you leave. And everybody runs like when you get through. Nobody stays around. There's no fellowship. Sometimes there was fellowship at the country club and we went out to eat breakfast. But after I got saved, I found I didn't have a whole lot in common with them. And one day I was at a deliverance church, and they were calling for workers, and I held up my hand, and the pastor pointed to the man who was assigning workers, and he misunderstood him, and he assigned a worker to me. And so we sat down in the back of the church, you know, and we didn't know who was ministering to who. And he looked at me and he said, does the word transubstantiation mean anything to you? I always slaughter that word. But I said, well, I was in a church that taught that, and I taught that at Sunday school. He said, well, let's bind that thing and cast it off. And I said, well, if it's there, I want it to leave. It almost took my throat out when it came. And it cut me through from the denominational church. I didn't have to go to communion anymore. And I had been coming, ministering deliverance with a deliverance group over 3 years. God had brought in people from 200 miles away for deliverance. The minister delivered several, almost every other night or every night for 3 years. And I had that thing in me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. And it came out simply by word of knowledge by Buzz Menashe. That's the word of knowledge. And he just, I renounced it in the name of Jesus and said, you're there, I want you to leave. I didn't think I had anything. I thought I was clean. But I found out I had a religious demon in me, tied back to a denomination. I think all of you should think about that. It holds you in bondage in very subtle ways. Praise you, Lord. It produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's look at Romans 14:17. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness comes first in your peace and your joy. When someone is saved, you look to see if they have a change in their life. You know, no change in their life, you wonder about their salvation. I once was at a meeting in Dallas, and Father Rembrandt was there. He was a Lithuanian priest who had been in jail, in a Russian jail, for 25 years, and he was up testifying. I had the good fortune to meet him and talk to him, and he showed me a picture of two Russian prisoners. And he said, this one has been sentenced to jail for 5 years, and this one for 8 years for witnessing on the street. And in my naivety, I said to him, boy, I bet they don't have much trouble with folks witnessing on the street giving out jail terms like that. Fire came in that old man's eyes, and he looked at me, and he said, son, you don't witness. He said, son, all true Christians witness. You don't witness. I doubt your salvation. I convicted me. I said, ooh. Yes, sir. And when I got set free from my denominational bondage, I found I was able to witness a great deal better. It happened shortly after. Praise you, Lord. Righteousness comes first. Let's look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the end result, which is in Galatians 22. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things, those are all manifestations of agape love. That is what the Holy Spirit will produce in your life. At the top up there is the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, murder, revelries, and the like. If it produces that in your life, you know it is not. Praise you, Lord God. Matthew, let's look at Matthew 7. Jesus says to you, Matthew 7:17. Let's go back to 15. Beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, Brother Jack says, you look at the tracks. Look at the tracks and see where they've been. You know, he's got the sheep's hide on him, but he's still got the wolf's feet. You look at his tracks and see where he's been. What does that spirit produce? Does that spirit tell you you're supposed to divorce your husband? Divorce your wife? Tells you it's all right to go sleep with this other lady because your wife is having headaches all the time? Tell you it's all right to commit adultery because your wife, you know, she's really mistreating you and she's cut you off and this other lady understands you. That's the Holy Spirit. I've heard people tell me that the Holy Spirit told them it was all right. I had a young man that we cared to deliverance him. He got gloriously delivered, got a scholarship to a college. I mean, he did beautifully. He went down there, met a nice Christian girl. They fell in love, and the Lord told him it was all right to move in the apartment together. I said, when did the voices come back? He said, right after I slept with him. Amen? I mean, the Holy Spirit will not lead you into breaking God's law. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Praise God. Let's look at James 2:12 then. So speak, and so do those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Now what does that mean? Does that mean that you're free to do anything that you want to? No. Paul says in Romans, let's look at Romans 10. Oh, goodness. I'm sorry, it's Romans 13. For no one, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. And verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Praise you, Lord. And Galatians, you have... Paul says you shall not use your liberty as a license for lasciviousness, which means sin in every direction, any way you can think of it. You shall not use that. Let's look at Galatians 5:13 now. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law has been fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so, it is the law of liberty. But it's the law of liberty to do anything that you can do in perfect agape love. If you can do it in perfect agape love, you're at liberty to do that. But the law, but the Spirit will not lead you into bondage. It will not lead you into confusion. It will not lead you into fear. Romans 8:15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Anytime that a revelation leads you into bondage, you know, God will allow you to make a free choice. You choose to serve Him. The devil will put you in bondage and drag you in. And once he's got you in bondage, any of you who've ever been addicted to cigarettes, you know what that means. That means you may want to stop smoking and you may put that cigarette up on the cup there, but that thing just sort of draws you. You get a headache and you get nervous and you get all kind of bad symptoms until you smoke that cigarette. That is bondage. An alcoholic can want to stop. And he can try, and he can hold on to his flesh until his flesh, but he will eventually yield to it. He is in bondage to it. A whoremonger may want to stop, and he will stand against it, but he will eventually yield. He cannot stop because he is in bondage to that spirit. God can deliver him from that bondage if he will call upon the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, he talked about 3:11, I'm sorry, 11:3. He said, I fear that somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The gospel is simple, people. And the tutorage of the Holy Spirit, the gospel can be made very plain to you. When somebody stands at this podium and says to you, I have a very deep revelation. Now, some of you will probably, only a few of you will be able to receive this. Run for the door. The dump truck is about to unload. It ain't the Holy Spirit. Because with the Holy Spirit, the gospel is simple. Now, sometimes something sort of sticks out, and it takes a little while for it to come in. But God will make it plain to you that Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is so very simple. It says, submit to me and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But you submit to him. It means that you become God's slave and you serve him and be obedient to him. And he's prepared a place for you in heaven and will protect you from the enemy. The devil says, you serve me and I'll drag you into bondage and I'll torment you and kill you and take you to the lake of fire. And he will give you, or he will confuse your mind with deep revelations. These people get, these people have intellectual spirits, familiar spirits. I know a good friend of mine who will probably be one of the leading liberal theologians of our century. He's extremely brilliant. He has an intellectual demon. He never forgets anything that he reads. And he doesn't know Jesus Christ, and he teaches in seminary. He has an intellectual knowledge of him. And you look at him, and you can see the demon staring out of him. And he will confuse you. He will lay out all these doctrinal lines that you come away, your mind is wheeling. You say, oh God, I just like the poor Jews who said, they said when the rich man couldn't be saved, they said to Jesus, he said, well, who can be saved? Now, why did they say that? If the rich man can't be saved, who can be saved? Because the rich man didn't have to work for a living all the time, and he could learn all the rules and keep them. He could sit down in the synagogue and learn all those thousands and thousands, those 12, 15 volumes that they had put together, the Pharisees and the legalists had put together, so he could legally keep the law. They had defined everything to the point they had taken the law, and they had defined it till one said had 60 volumes. The Babylonian said had 60 volumes. Defined everything. That there shall be no work done on the Sabbath. There wrote a whole volume on what's work.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.